Good evening. We'll start tonight in Philippians chapter 4. Start in your New Testament, and then we'll spend a whole bunch of time in the Old Testament. If you were here last week, we started a series. Don't know how long it will go, but it will probably go for a few weeks. Started a series on the heart, and we started in Proverbs 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. So I've titled this, Keep Thy Heart. Notice an interesting verse concerning that in Philippians 4. Go down there to verse 6. A couple of really good verses, particularly on prayer meeting night. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I have to say a word about that that's not connected with the message, but concerning with what we just did. It says there that you should take everything to the Lord by prayer. And that word is a substitute oftentimes in your Bible for asking. I don't know if you've ever used it. It used to be used many years ago a lot more often. I pray thee, come hither, you could say. And you're asking, so that's prayer. And then it says supplication, big word, but easy to understand. The first half of that word, what do you see in that word? Supply. So now when it comes to supplication, you're saying, Lord, I need you to supply this particular need. So did you do that tonight? Did you ask the Lord for anything? Did you ask the Lord to supply anything? That's good. Hopefully you did. And then the last piece here is with thanksgiving. So I know it's really easy, because this is the way we are, is to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. When you pray, make sure that you take time to thank God for any number of things. In fact, you could spend, you could have a portion of your prayer time, or maybe just you carve out when you pray to start the day. It's instead of asking the Lord for a bunch of things, you're saying, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that. When you're in the car, be careful about praying when you're in your car, but you can pray in your car. But when you're in your car, there's so many things. I know I do my thinking in the car, so that's why I'm bringing this up. I don't know where you do your thinking. Mine's in the car. There's so many things that come to my mind to thank God for just on the way to work or on the way to church. And you can kind of go through the way that your day goes. You can thank the Lord that you had food in the fridge. You can thank the Lord that you got a nice place to live, that you have a car that you can drive to work or to church or this grocery store. Thank the Lord that you have a grocery store. You can buy food. Even though it's expensive, there's still food there. Thank the Lord that you can buy gas. Even though it's expensive, you can still buy gas. Talked to a fellow in South Florida yesterday that said they can't get gas down there. And I said, well, because he's asked me about gas here. And I said, oh, well, it's hot. It's higher than it was last week, but we can get it. He goes, you can still get gas? This is a guy in Broward County. Broward or Dade, one of the two. And I said, yeah. And he said, we're having a shortage down here. He says, you go to the pump and they got the thing on the pump. You can't get any gas. And then if you do find a place, they got long lines to get it. So thank the Lord you got gas. I got gas today. Anybody else get gas this week? Thank you, Lord. $3.75, wasn't happy about that, but I'll take it. It's better than not getting gas. I say all this. You just go all through all things you go through during the day. Thank you, Lord. I can walk to the car. Thank you that I can walk in the church building. Thank you I got clothes to wear. Thank you I got shoes on my feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You just go on and on. So that was all free. Look at verse 7. This has to do with the message. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Notice what it says. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the messages are titled, Keep Thy Heart. This is part two. It says there that the peace of God shall keep your hearts, and the peace of God passeth all understanding. So a couple of good verses there to start with concerning keep thy heart. Now go to Romans 10. I was here last week and I didn't say a couple things that I meant to say, so let's do it now. Romans 10, just a few pages back. Salvation verses here in chapter 10 of Romans. Look at verse 9. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, watch this, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, what do you do with your heart according to the verse? Belief comes from the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart is the seat of belief. And when belief in the heart is placed in the work of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, what is the result? Salvation. It is a work of the heart. Salvation is a work of the heart, something inside. So let me just talk for a moment here. A few of you will appreciate this. Some of you might say this is kind of boring, but talk about your actual ticker, your heart, for a minute. That organ in the middle of your chest. Anybody know how many chambers are in your heart? 4 chambers. So Zane, I got to thinking about this just the day this hit me. I thought, okay, 4. Number 4 in the Bible. It's kind of a mysterious number. It's hard to nail down. When we studied numbers in the past, I have a hard time nailing it down. But then I got to thinking about this verse and how belief in the heart, and specifically belief in Jesus Christ, is a matter of salvation. That's how a person is saved. So then I got thinking about number 4, the heart, and Jesus Christ. If you really want to get to know the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not just one place to go. There's 4. You want to get to the heart of who Jesus Christ is? Matthew. But you need more than Matthew. You need Mark. You need Luke. And you need John. You want a full-length, very clear portrait of the true identity of Jesus Christ. You need all 4. In Matthew, he's the king. He's presented as the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's a lowly, humble servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's God manifest in the flesh, the son of God. So, which of those is Jesus Christ? All 4 of them. How many chambers of your heart do you need to work for you to have a healthy heart? All 4 of them. So maybe there's more than just that there. Zane, I'll leave that one to you and Miss Katie, the medical people here. There's probably a lot more to that, but I thought that was a good start. So I'm going to try to cover 3 different types of hearts tonight, see how we go here. Let's go to Psalm 34. And these next few weeks we'll cover types of hearts that are referred to in the Scriptures. Different conditions of the heart, you could say. Conditions of the heart. Psalm 34. We'll start off on a tough note and end on a high, good note tonight. Psalm 34. Go down there to verse 17. Psalm 34, verse 17. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Amen to that. The Lord does hear and deliver. Verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." First heart I'd like to talk about tonight is a broken heart. And you don't have to say yes to this because I know you all have. I have certainly had a situation that broke my heart. Everybody's been there, haven't you? There's all kinds of situations in life that can lead to a broken heart. You can have... The big thing I got to thinking about with broken hearts is we usually get a broken heart as a result of a disappointment. And man, there's a lot of things in this life that will disappoint you, isn't there? Family can disappoint you, can't they? Whether it's close family members that you live with, or maybe it's a little bit distant, but distant family members, but they can disappoint you. Your friends can disappoint you. Situations with bosses and employers can be disappointing. Situations with, here's really one that can really break you. Situations with churches where things are not handled the way they should in a godly manner, a biblical manner. And that can be heartbreaking to see how many people are affected by the poor leadership or decision making of just one person. I've seen that a few times. That's heartbreaking. And then I'll tell you what really is heartbreaking the spiritual apathy you see in not just the USA, but amongst a lot of Christians. The spiritual apathy, just cold-hearted when it comes to spiritual matters. People don't care. And it is heartbreaking to see that. It's heartbreaking to see people who profess to be saved that are just running in the complete wrong direction, saying things, making decisions that are just absolutely foolish. It's heartbreaking. So I know that, as I mentioned, disappointment usually has to do with people and oftentimes relationships. So I'll tell you just a silly story here. You'll probably get a good laugh out of this. I remember the first time I had a broken heart. A girl broke my heart. The first quotation marks, girlfriend I had was a girl named Claire Cannon, and she was a cutie. And I thought, I'm not very old. I'm probably 12. And when you're that age and you see the girl of your dreams, you say, she went to my church, really sweet girl, real pretty girl, got to know her. And of course, when you're that age, you think, well, I only meet one girl that I want to marry, and if I'm 12, that's okay. This is how a 12-year-old thinks sometimes. I mean, she goes to my church, she's a really good girl, she's saved, surely. Well, you probably know what happened. She broke my heart. And I remember bawling and just bawling. That's the first time that had ever happened to me. And I remember my mom and dad saying, this resonated with me. Micah, there's a lot of fish in the sea. But I bring that up because it is usually people that end up breaking your heart, isn't it? People and things that they do can lead to a broken heart. Well, let's look at another verse here. Psalm 51. Sometimes it's good that your heart gets broken. Let me show you why. It can be a good thing. It's hard. Nobody likes it, but it can actually be a good thing. Look at verse 17, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Interesting. What does the Lord actually respond to? What type of heart? A broken heart. Because He's the only one that can mend a broken heart. And oftentimes it takes us going through great disappointment and having a broken heart for us to actually turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need You. Because whenever those situations happen and you got a real heart issue, you should know, I know this crowd, you do know, that only the Lord can take care of that situation. And the first place you ought to go is to Him in those situations because He is the only one that can fix it. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Go over there to Psalm 69. Go down to verse 18. Psalm 69, 18. You'll see some more here about just the things that go along with having a broken heart. Psalm 69, 18. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Watch this, verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Watch this. This is a really interesting response here. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. You know this is true. This crowd, you know it. You've lived through it. There's times where you have a broken heart and there's not anybody. Your closest family members, your closest friends cannot give you assistance. They try. And they can't do anything to make it better. And I believe the Lord allows that to happen on purpose because He wants you to turn to Him so that He can mend your broken heart. So, how about the solution to a broken heart? Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Last thing here on a broken heart. How do you get healing for a broken heart? Psalm 147. Psalm 147, look at verse 1. The solution to a broken heart. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Notice the P's, the words that start with P in that verse. Pretty neat. Praise, praises, pleasant, praise, The Lord does that on purpose. You got to watch that. It's really neat. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Watch verse 3. He healeth who? The broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know what's neat? Look at the next verse. Can the Lord really heal a broken heart and bind up the wounds of those that are hurt? Look at the next verse. He telleth the number of what? The stars. He calleth them all by their what? We don't even have names for all the stars. But He does. The Lord knows at this very moment how many stars you could see with the naked eye right now if you walked outside. And then He can also tell you how many stars you can't see, but you need a telescope to see. Right at this very moment, He can tell you that. He can tell you that answer. Don't you think if He can do that, that He can do what He says in verse 3, heal the broken in heart? What do you think? The Lord tells you some things about Himself here, or actually the psalmist tells you some things about God that are true to remind you He can do what no other man can do. No man could ever do. Look at verse 5. Great is who? Of our Lord and of great power. Watch this part. His understanding is what? He understands the reason behind your broken heart far better than you could ever understand it. He made you. We talked about this on Sunday morning. He made you. Every little compartment of your body, soul, or spirit, He made and He knows all about. He can do things that Parish Hospital could never do. Or Vieira Hospital, the better hospital. They could never do it. Or you go to Johns Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic, they could never do it because they don't know what the Lord knows. Isn't that neat? You can always lean on the Lord to mend the broken heart. All right, let's go to the next one here. This will be a tough one. Psalm 101. Back up a few pages. A lot in the Psalms and the Proverbs about the heart. And just happens to be the Psalms and the Proverbs are located right in the heart of your Bible, right in the middle. Psalm 101. Look at verse 5. A heart you want to avoid, this next heart, number 2. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. You got to be careful about this one. You got to be on guard about having a proud heart. Thinking a little too much of yourself. That's a proud heart. Notice what goes along with a proud heart. What comes right before a proud heart? A high look. Now, being in the world that I work in athletics, I watch kids take pictures whenever they get their picture taken. And let me just show you a classic pose of a lot of kids. And they get this from the professional athletes. They see the professional athletes do it, so they do it. You ready for this? They lift that head up. What's that look tell you? I think a lot of me. That's what that tells you. Instead of just putting your head down and having a humble smile on your face, knowing that the Lord gave you everything you got athletically, you'll see that head pop up. Oh, man. A proud heart goes right along with a high look. The Lord does not like that. Notice it says there, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. The Lord does not appreciate that proud heart. Go to Proverbs 16. A couple more things here on a proud heart. Proverbs 16. You've got to watch out for this one. It'll creep in. Shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Everything you have comes from the Lord. You're not anything. You're nothing. I think I've said it before, but if you're saved, you are a Christian. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And that word Christian, it begins with Christ and ends with I-A-N. Reminder, I-A-N. I am nothing. It's all about Christ. But when you leave the Christ out, you become something that you think you are, but you're not. You think you're something, but you're nothing. Got to be reminded that with Christ, it's all about Him. I'm nothing. He did everything. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now watch this, second half of the verse. Though hand, join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know what a person with a proud heart can always find? another person with a proud heart. And you know what they can find? Another person with a proud heart. I mean, I hate to make you mad when I say this, but just look at the political system in the United States. Let's join hands in our pride. You hear that? Let's join hands in our pride. We recently here in our world had a month devoted to that. It's not just politics. It's all over the place. But that is, notice verse 5. I didn't say this. The Lord did. That is an abomination to the Lord. A proud heart. Okay, one more. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And then we'll look at what the Lord will do about those with a proud heart. Proverbs 28. Go down to verse Proverbs 28, 25. Yeah, there we go. Proverbs 28, 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust where? I'm in the wrong place. Yep, I'm looking at 29. Thought that didn't sound right. Proverbs 28, 25. Y'all say something. 28, 25. He that is of a proud heart does what? Stirreth up strife. Let me stop there and then we'll hit the next part. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So there's kids at school that I watch do this, but I know that there's adults that do the exact same thing. They will go to tell one person something that another person said that they didn't say, and then they'll go to the person that they said something that they didn't say and say what another person said about them. What they're doing is they're putting two people against each other when these two people actually are not against each other. But they sit in the middle and stir it up with this person and stir it up with that person. So what happens? Now these people are ready to fight. Now I see that in school with teenagers, but I see it with adults too. Really? Oh yeah? I don't know why adults even like to stir up the pot. I'll tell you what else I've seen is you see adults that like to stir up the pot with different people. You don't think you see kids do this, but here's what adults do. They'll stir it up with a couple of people, and then they'll swoop in like a superhero saying, well, let me fix this. So that they look like, oh, look how great you are. You fixed the problem. The problem you started. You fixed it. And then, oh, you get all the credit for it because you fixed the problem, even though you started the problem. I've seen that. And you know what that is? That's nothing but a person with a lot of pride in their hearts. That's all that is. Watch out for that proud heart. Look what the Lord's going to do with those with a proud heart. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I didn't read the second half of there. It says, he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Instead of trusting your own heart, trust the Lord. Luke chapter 1. This is a long chapter. Go down to the end. Verse 51. Luke 1:51. If you go down there, it says, speaking of the Lord, it says, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. What will the Lord do with those who have a proud heart, according to verse 51? What's the stage going to do to them? Scatter them. If you look at verse 52, it goes along with it. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. The Lord looks for the humble, not the proud. He will put down the proud. He will exalt the humble. Good verses there on the Lord taking care of those with a proud heart. So that's a heart you want to avoid, a proud heart. Last one here. Let's go, try to make this quicker. Go back to Psalm 73. Last one. We'll end on a high note here. Had a proud heart. Start off with a broken heart. How about a heart that you all want to have? And I hope that's the case here even tonight. Psalm 73. Look at verse 1. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a, there's the third heart for the night, a clean heart. A clean heart. Not a dirty one, but a clean one. You go back to Psalm 51, it's a great psalm of repentance, and it says over there in Psalm 51, asking the Lord, the psalmist David, he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit with me. That's a great request to make to the Lord. Create in me a clean heart. So how do you get your heart cleaned up? If you need your heart cleaned up, You need a certain substance to get your heart cleaned up. And it just happens to go along with that pump in the middle of your chest. What is that thing in the middle of your chest? What does it pump? Your heart pumps blood. And guess what substance you need to have a clean heart? You need the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you that here. A couple places here. Go to 1 John 1. How do you get a clean heart? Your heart's dirty. If somebody's got a dirty heart, how do they clean that up? Well, you can't clean it up yourself. That won't work. Say, I'll do it with water. I'll clean up with water. I'll get baptized. Getting in the water, that'll clean up my heart. No. You're still going to have a dirty heart when you get out of that clean water. Look at 1 John 1. How do you get a clean heart? Well, look at verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. What's it do? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse. It says, cleanse us from all sin. I underline that word all. I love that word in that verse. Is there a sin? Is there any sin that the blood of Jesus Christ will not cleanse? Is there? Help me out, folks. There's not a single sin the blood of Jesus Christ won't wash away. It says right there, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Go to Revelation 1. We'll end up here. Revelation 1. One more verse on the blood. Always good to get some verses on the blood of Jesus Christ. I think it's neat here. We're talking about the heart. The heart pumps blood. The heart is the real you. And if you don't have blood flowing through your arteries and veins, then you're not alive. And notice that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that keeps you clean, that makes you clean, keeps you clean, and keeps you alive spiritually. Look at verse 5, Revelation 1, 5. It says there, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins. How did He do it, folks? In His own blood. Now, if I was to bleed and my blood got on you, it would leave a stain, wouldn't it? Something about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, instead of leaving a stain, what does it do? It's better than Tide detergent. Or whatever kind of soap you use, or body wash, whatever it may be. It's the best substance in the universe. It's the only substance in the universe that can cleanse away sin. Amen to that? So I think that's neat. Talking about the heart here, three kinds of hearts. The best kind out of the three there to have is a clean heart. And you get a clean heart by the blood of Jesus Christ being applied and washing away your sin. So, salvation is a matter of the heart, believing on Jesus Christ, and the work that He did was dependent on His blood being shed so that you could have a clean heart. Pretty neat stuff there. We'll try to hit some more next week, try to get two or three more types of hearts in the Bible. This is quite a long study I have endeavored upon, so I don't know how long we will go. It might go for some time here. Let's pray together. Thank You, Lord, for showing us truth that we all need. Lord, there's people that might be right here among us that have broken hearts, and we are just asking You to mend those broken hearts. I pray You help all of us here to avoid, to run far away from having a proud heart. May we all have humble hearts, knowing that we are nothing without You. Pray also we walk out of here with clean hearts, knowing that we need daily cleansing from sin. Even after salvation, we just need You to wash us anew and fresh. This world we walk through makes us dirty. Just pray that we would walk out of here tonight with clean hearts because of what You've done. And we just ask for Your guidance. We ask for Your wisdom and Your protection as we go from here. We pray this in Jesus' name.